Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Welcome to Africa Link. It's Monday, the 9th of April, 2018. I'm Eddie Micah Jr.
And I am Abubakar Jallo. We are coming to you live from our studios in Bonn, Germany.
Coming up on the show, Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari confirms he will seek re-election in 2019. But what do people make of his decision?
I believe as it is now, you should just give up on the election. Let it give a chance to another person. That is my suggestion, because everything I've gone down already and we need a change.
For other people, maybe it has been a good job for them. But for me, I did not say anything that I performed.
And how corrupt is Kenya?
Well, we'll look into why Africa's richest man, Nigerian business mogul Aliko Dangote, said Kenya was more corrupt than Nigeria.
These are some of just the stories we've lined up for you. But first, let's listen to some of the stories that are making headlines around the world.
I'm Shay Meineke with DW News. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban has won a third term in office with 49% of the vote in Sunday's election. The outcome gives Orban's right-wing anti-immigration Fidesz party a two-thirds majority in parliament. Election observers from the Organization of Security and Cooperation in Europe said it had found xenophobic rhetoric and media bias in the run-up to the election. German government spokesperson Stefan Seibert congratulated Orban.
Es ist ganz offensichtlich, dass es in unserer Zusammenarbeit auch kontroverse Themen gibt.
It is quite obvious that there are controversial issues in our cooperation, such as our migration policy differences. But the German Chancellor and the German government have offered to continue to further our cooperation within our common European values.
Weiter die Zusammenarbeit voranzutreiben.
Police in Germany say they are still probing the intentions behind an incident in which a van rammed into a group of people outside a bar in the northwestern city of Münster, killing three people and injuring 20. The suspect, who shot and killed himself at the scene, has been identified as Jens R. He wrote a note before his attack, which Münster police spokesman Andreas Boda said gave no dangerous intentions to other people.
From the documents available to us, there are no indications of danger to other people or of criminal offenses. Of course, we are also investigating whether suicidal intentions could have played a role.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel offered condolences to those affected by the tragedy. Authorities in the German capital of Berlin have released six suspects detained over a foiled attack on the city's half marathon, citing lack of evidence. The men aged 18 to 21 were detained during the marathon on Sunday. Police said two of them had connections to the Tunisian man with Islamist militant ties held responsible for the death of 12 people and an attack on a Christmas market in Berlin in 2016. Also in Germany, airline Lufthansa said it would cancel around 800 flights on Tuesday after labor union Verdi announced that it would strike for more pay. Lufthansa said the nationwide strikes could affect more than 90,000 passengers. This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari on Monday said he would stand for re-election next year. The 75-year-old has come under fire for spending much of last year in Britain, reportedly for medical treatment. Buhari said on Twitter that he would stand as presidential candidate for the All Progressives Congress Party in February. The UN said three people were killed and dozens injured in clashes between UN peacekeepers with rebels in the Central African Republic on the weekend. The UN said at least 11 peacekeepers were among the injured in the fighting near the presidential palace near capital Bangui. And finally, today marks the 15th anniversary of U.S. invasion of Iraq. That saw U.S. troops topple the statue of its leader, Saddam Hussein, in the capital, Baghdad. For more news and information, visit our website at dw.com. I'm Shay Meineke.
You're listening to DW's Africa Link program. I'm Eddie Micah Jr.
And I am Abubakar Jallo. We are live on Facebook, DW Africa. So share, drop your comments there on the stories that we are reporting.
Well, it's official. Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari will seek another term in the February 2019 elections. This ends months of speculation about his plans after bouts of ill health.
Now, the 75-year-old spent much of last year in Britain being treated for an undisclosed ailment, which triggered accusations by opposition groups that he was unfit for office.
The news has not gone down well with most of his supporters. Take a listen.
The change which he promised that is going to bring, he turned everything upside down. And I believe as it is now, he should just give up on the election. Let it give a chance to another person. That is my suggestion. Because everything have gone down already and we need a change.
For other people, maybe I'd be doing a good job for them. But for me, I did not say anything that he performed.
Entirely, he did not perform well, so I don't see anything of contesting for the second term. So I don't think it's a good idea of him contesting for the second term.
Everybody's complaining about his performance. Honestly, everybody's complaining about it bitterly, except those who are very close to him doesn't complain. But we common people, we complain about it. The performance is not too good. It's not to our expectation.
Some cross-section of Nigerians, they're reacting to the news of Buhari's announcement. Now, let's go to the Nigerian capital, Abuja, and speak to our correspondent, Ben Shimang. Ben, what else did the president's office say are reasons why Buhari will seek re-election?
Well, honestly, Abubakar, the story is long. Bearing in mind that many Nigerians have always felt, especially last year, that the president was not too strong to contest. But today, after returning from that hospital, he's been moving from one state to another. He's been going to states where there are security challenges in the northeastern part of the country where Boko Haram is very, very strong, and where you also have farmers, herders, clashes, Taraba, Benue, and all that stuff. He's been visiting all those areas. So coupled with all of this agriculture in mind, they are feeling that the president is strong enough, he has the credentials to contest.
Now, he has left for the UK. He's going to be in London for the Commonwealth. But also there are speculations that he is also going to seek medical attention with his doctors in London. How much news is this making in Nigeria?
Absolutely, there are just speculations as to he's going to also see a doctor. But the statement from the State House simply says that he is going to the Commonwealth summit. And of course, before the summit, he will have some pre-meetings with the Prime Minister of Britain, Theresa May. And again, he's going to talk with some big companies that have to do with oil.
Now, Nigerians really mock Buhari and call him Baba Goslow. Do you think he stands another chance of winning based on what Nigerians really are saying about him?
Honestly, I think that for now, President Buhari appears to have an edge over many other candidates because some other parties are still battling as to who is going to be candidate. There are still aspirants here and there, and there's still that competition among themselves. There's no unity, especially the People's Democratic Party that was defeated by Buhari's party. And there are many other political parties. In fact, there was a case of a young guy, because there's a law coming up that young people can contest. A man went to contest a gubernatorial candidate, and they just gave him some dressing down. Look, go contest as a councillor in a local government, you know. So you could see that some people feel that with age, Buhari has matured enough, but others will feel that he's really too slow in terms of taking Nigerian problems head on.
Ben Shimang in Abuja. Eddie, this story is causing some stare.
Yeah, there's stare. I don't even know if stare is the word to describe it. So many comments on Facebook, because of course we posted it. Now, to read a bit of the comment, Emma Uguecha says, if Buhari has honor and sense of humanity, he would have chosen to step aside for a smart, younger and 21st century material to lead Nigeria. Buhari failed in health services and provisions for a common man.
Interestingly, lots of young Nigerians are coming forward due to the new laws there because they want to put in their name for the presidential seat. Now, Anthony Dyke says, on what basis is Buhari seeking re-election? Can his achievements really speak for him?
Ah, it's a billion-dollar question, isn't it? Every leader's achievements should speak for them, right?
Yeah.
Now, Baye Jeremiah says, yes, because his commitment to fighting corruption, which is a serious problem in Nigeria and Africa as a whole, is good enough for his re-election. That's my opinion on his administration.
Definitely a good one there. Ogban Etoti says, accepting Buhari again means accepting more hunger and suffering. He is too wicked for a leader. Very strong comment.
Very strong ones. But it's interesting, like you noted, it's really coming from a young group of people. They're very passionate about their country.
Indeed. Now, let's take you to Europe and in Hungary, where the nationalist Prime Minister Viktor Orban has won a decisive victory in the country's general election. During his campaign, Orban took a hard line on Muslim immigration, portraying migrants as a threat to Hungary's Christian identity.
Now, in his victory speech, he said the result gave Hungarians the chance to defend themselves and their country. Jared Reed compiled this report.
Justin. We won, a triumphant Viktor Orban. Hungary's right-wing nationalist prime minister winning his third consecutive term in office and his fourth term overall. It follows a campaign in which Orban rallied almost exclusively against what he described as the poison of immigration.
There's a big battle behind us. We have won a crucial victory, got a chance, gave ourselves a chance to defend Hungary.
Orban's populist and Eurosceptic messages have strained ties with the EU, but they won his Fidesz party almost half the votes. Because of complex election laws, he's on track to secure a two-thirds supermajority in parliament. Voter turnout reached close to 70%, exceeding the past three elections. It had been thought that high turnout might favour the far-right opposition Jobbik and the centre-left socialists. But trailing far behind the winner, the leaders of Hungary's second and third biggest parties have resigned following the result.
Nigeria, Jared Reed. We're going to talk about Nigeria, so I'm not sure. Anyway, now, Africa's richest man, Aliko Dangote from Nigeria, has described Kenyans as more corrupt than Nigerians. A report suggests that a comment was made during an interaction with a popular Kenyan journalist. So according to local media reports in Kenya, Dangote was in Kenya for investment talks in 2013, but failed to establish his business in the country.
Eddie, I know we have lots of comments, but before I go into those ones, let me give you some facts there. Mm-hmm. 2016, Transparency International ranked in its Corruption Perception Index, it ranked Kenya 9 points lower mm-hmm. to Nigeria. But last year, 2017, which is the latest report, it ranked Nigeria 5 points higher to Kenya.
So they're swapping places?
Indeed. We have so many responses on this, Eddie.
So many responses. And yeah. I'm going to start with Abbas Matthew Osikena. And he says, in fact, Nigeria is more corrupt than all corrupt African countries put together. In Nigeria, it is not only government that is corrupt. The military, police, religious houses, institutions of learning, entertainment industry, saying every institution is corrupt, including elders in the village. Now, and I mean, he goes on talking about even spiritual leaders, witches and wizards are all corrupt. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, as an African, I just find it ridiculous that we're laughing about this topic.
Exactly.
And we find it interesting. Abdel Dizzy says, at least you can see development in Kenya, especially when you enter Nairobi. They have one of the nicest airports in Africa and lots of many things to talk about in compared to Nigeria, a country where snakes swallowed money and where over $40 million was found in an abandoned locker. I don't agree with Mr. Dangote on this.
Exactly. And I know, Abu, we are not supposed to be laughing, but some of these comments just bring out the laughter from deep within. Because Ambrose Ayodele says, Nigeria is number one in the world in everything. We are not as corrupt as the West. We are just an open people. Pay the police very well. Create social security scheme. Let our tax money be spent judiciously.
And Ecto 2 says, corruption in Nigeria institutions is more entrenched than it is in Kenya. He went on to say there have been cases where previously unknown youth would independently contest and win county elections in Kenya. In Nigeria, such youths stand no chance even if they contest.
Well, Ifechukwu Prosper says, former British Prime Minister David Cameron said that Nigeria is fantastically corrupt. They are our colonial master, but he said such against Nigeria. That is to show the level of corruption that is going on in Nigeria. God help us.
Anyways, we have one from Carlos Dilibato who says, Dangote is fantastically corrupt businessman covered by his fellow Fulani. Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, let's get there. I mean, so many comments. Sometimes, you know, it can definitely get cross-eyed. But I mean, Abu, this really tells people are passionate about this. But it's not fair, though, that we are comparing which country is more corrupt. It has to stop.
Corruption definitely has to stop. We should not be comparing which one is corrupt and which one is less corrupt, for sure.
Definitely.
If you are just joining this program, you're listening to Africa Link, and my name is Abubakar Jallo.
And I'm Eddie Micah Jr. Africa Link is also live on Facebook via DW Africa. Check it out.
Now, coming up in this half of Africa Link, how effective is South Africa's tax on sugar to stem the consumption of sugary drinks?
And the Commonwealth Games are ongoing. How are African countries performing? All that coming up in our sports segment shortly.
That's right, Eddie. And still on the topic of taxes, before we take you to that story in South Africa, let's make a stop in Uganda. Because if you are a Facebook, Twitter or a social media user, get ready for a new kind of tax law on your social habits.
Correctly, Abu. Now, Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni has introduced a new tax on everyone who accesses social media sites. The tax will be deducted every day if someone accesses a social media site like Facebook or WhatsApp, which are commonly used in Uganda. Now, our correspondent Alex Gita reports.
That Facebook Messenger sound will soon cost Ugandans at least 200 Uganda shillings. That's about 17.5 cents of a dollar daily. President Yoweri Museveni blamed his government for the delay in taxing social media users in the country. The president believes that Ugandans are using social media to gossip instead of using their phones and computers for productive work. He believes the tax will force many to find better use for their time, but also help government get revenue it badly needs. Many people using social media jumped up in opposition to the president's suggestion.
I think it's a good idea if the taxes are going to be used for better service delivery.
Me, I'm an online marketing, I do marketing, whatever. But taxing us, I'm not happy with it.
Bloggers and online publishers, too, are in arms, but so are those who use these platforms as social networking sites. Kenneth Rukwago is one of those.
I'm a Facebook blogger. I buy internet data almost on a daily basis using airtime. And airtime is already being taxed. Why should I be taxed again when I buy data? I think this is double taxation and I don't support it at all. I think government should be thinking about other avenues. Besides, such a tax is going to slow down innovation.
The government machinery is already working hard to explain why it would be a good thing for Ugandans to pay the tax. Information Minister Frank Tumwebaze says this will challenge tech-savvy Ugandans to innovate their own sites and compete with the likes of Facebook and WhatsApp.
What the president is saying is, let's put a tax on that consumption of imported content. If we innovate our own content and we are also pushing it and take it online, we export it.
Several members of parliament, too, are not happy. Kampala MOP Muhammad Nsereko responded to President Museveni on Facebook, saying tools that help in job creation like cheap or free internet should be promoted.
If you talk about taxing the social media apps under the disguise of trying to develop the local content, it's definitely not true, it's a lie, and it won't be achieved.
There are millions of Ugandans on social media. Some of them use the sites for good causes, business, charity, and many more. It is estimated that there are over 10 million Ugandans with smartphones. Julius Mukunda, a budget economist and head of the Civil Society Budget Advocacy Group, believes this will open up another source for revenue.
Majority of them have got, you know, use internet. So I think it's an untapped area, a very big potential for us to raise our tax revenues.
But currently, everybody doesn't want to pay. Even those who are willing, they don't want to pay because the way we utilize our taxes.
The tax is expected in Uganda's new financial year from July this year, and the government expects to collect at least 270 billion Uganda shillings a year if all 10 million Ugandans who own smartphones pay the tax.
Alex Gita with that report. And of course, we pushed that on Facebook and have won loads of comments.
Indeed. And people are really wondering, how is this really going to happen? Mm-hmm. How will the government of Uganda start, you know, collecting this kind of taxes? Now, a response from Effie Efficien says, he's an aging man. He might not have gotten the opportunity to use social media as of the current generation, adding with the fact that most dictators don't like the comments of social media nowadays.
Interesting one. Well, Stan Jack says, this is a bad idea. He always thinks about controlling and forcing people that are against him and oppose him to agree with him in every decision he makes. This is the way he uses to dictate people on what to speak out. So another interesting one there.
Indeed. Thanks for those responses. And coming up next, how South Africa is also taxing sugar drinks.
Health check. Now, from the 1st of April 2018, South Africans started paying the long-anticipated sugar tax. This follows a law enacted by the South African Parliament last year aiming at increasing tax on sugar-sweetened drinks.
But as Tuzo Kumalo reports from Johannesburg, the sugar tax has put a bitter taste between the government and those in the non-alcoholic beverage industry. Take a listen.
According to the Minister of Health, Aaron Motsoaledi, the 11% sugar tax enacted under the Rates and Monetary Amounts and Amendment of Revenue Act on the 1st of April has been long overdue. Minister Motsoaledi describes it as a health levy that will go a long way in discouraging citizens from consuming large amounts of sweetened drinks, which he says has become a source of obesity, diabetes, and related diseases.
We are not banning sugar. I want to emphasize, we're just saying take them in moderate amounts. Every life minute of our existence, we are being fed with these substances. It's an overload on the human body. All you are saying is they must be taken in moderate and normal amounts. That's what we're saying. It's not a ban.
With a can of sweetened beverage said to be having a whopping 10 teaspoons of sugar, the government says these drinks have become a source of diseases and hence the need to protect the public from them. However, the tax has created a bitter taste between the government and the manufacturers of these drinks. Beverage South Africa, an organization of manufacturers, says the tax will lead to a reduction in consumption, something it says will slice out over 940 million euro of economic development currently contributed by the industry. Velapi Rashifola from the Coca-Cola Beverages SA says thousands of jobs will be lost as a result.
That reduction affects people that supply us, not only just with sugar, could be cans, could be packaging, could be other raw materials. Those people will be affected together with the people that they employ.
But Minister Motsoaledi has described their assertions as scare tactics that are meant to protect profits at the expense of lives. And one expert, Vanessa Aksekau, a nutritionist, agrees with the minister, adding that the amount of sugar in these drinks is just too much.
Sugar literally affects every area of our health, so we really need to educate ourselves, and there needs to be specific key strategies implemented to reduce the amount of sugar consumption that we are taking in.
According to Statistics South Africa, in 2015, tuberculosis and diabetes were the leading underlying causes of natural deaths. A study conducted by the South African Medical Research Council, Statistics South Africa, and the Department of Health also show that 70% of South African women are obese. Experts say this has overburdened the country's health system. South Africa is not the first country to introduce sugar tax. A similar tax in Mexico has seen a reduction in consumption of sugar-sweetened drinks by 10%. And South Africa says if it achieves the same results, that could be thousands of lives saved from getting diabetes, obesity, and some types of cancers.
Tuzo Kumalo with that report.
Yeah, I mean, We all have to reduce our sugar intake, Abu, don't we?
It's better for our health, for sure.
Definitely. Now, we'll be heading to sports pretty soon, but we still definitely have some comments based on some of the stories, no?
Definitely. After the sports report, we're definitely going to bring a bit more on our top story today.
Okay, then. Now, in sports, it was an action-packed weekend for sure. It was a Kenya 1-2-3 in the Paris Marathon. And
we also take a look at Africa's performance so far at the ongoing Commonwealth Games in Australia. Now, our correspondent Samson Omale brings us more with that story.
We begin with the Paris Marathon, where Paul Loyangata led home a Kenyan 1-2-3 at the race on Sunday as he won the marathon for the second year in a row. The 25-year-old won in 2 hours, 6 minutes and 25 seconds to beat Matthew Kisorio by 11 seconds and Ernest Ngeno by 16 seconds.
Yeah, I win last year and then I win this year. I think it is a wonderful time for me. I like Paris so much. They are wonderful people.
In the women's category, Kenya's Betsy Saina crossed the line to win in 2 hours, 22 minutes, 55 seconds. Kenyan Ruth Chepngetich was second and Ethiopian Gulume Chala took third place. Betsy said after several attempts, she had to push hard to win this time around.
You know, it's really good. I'm so happy. You know, like I did the first marathon in Tokyo and I didn't finish it. I went to New York and I didn't finish it. So this was my third attempt. But today I've just proved it that this is my distance and I'm really excited that I won today. It's a pleasure.
It's day 6 of the ongoing 2018 Commonwealth Games in Gold Coast, Australia. On Sunday, Ugandan Joshua Kipruri Cheptegei won the men's 5,000 meters final, clinching gold and Uganda's first medal at the Games. A pre-race favorite, Cheptegei ran a tactical race to bust across the finish line with a winning time of 13 minutes 50.83 seconds.
I need also to go home and inspire the young generation to build up a team together, and we make people believe that when you train from home, you can really have success.
In table tennis, Nigeria took silver in the men's event, losing 3-love to India in the final on Monday. It is the first time since the racket sports induction into the Commonwealth Games program that India has topped both the male and female categories. In football news, Harambee Starlets, the Kenyan senior women's soccer national squad, are through to the next round of the African Women's Cup of Nations qualifiers despite being held to a goalless draw by Uganda in Kampala on Sunday. David Ouma is the head coach of the Starlets.
I think at this moment, Kenya is among the top 8 teams in Africa currently in terms of qualifying in the Africa Cup of Nations. We have to show that we are in this level.
And finally, Zamalek Football Club manager Ihab Galal resigned from his post on Sunday after 4 months and 16 matches in charge. His departure comes after the Cairo Giants slumped to a late 1-0 defeat by Makwasa in the Egyptian Premier League on Sunday. The defeat sees them losing 3 precious points in their race to finish second and earn a spot at next year's CAF African Champions League.
Samson Omale with that report.
Now, let's take you to our top story, which is Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari has announced that he will stand for a re-election in the February 2019 elections. Now, Eddie, yeah. I see you're excited about something.
I'm definitely excited because we put up a poll, okay, for people to either say yes, they agree to him running the second term, or that no. So I am happy to announce the results. 33 say yes, he can go for re-election.
Wow, that's a big one.
Because he performed well, but in opposition, 101 say no. He should not.
Yeah. The poll is still open for the next 20 hours. So just check out the DW Africa page. Tell us what you think. If it is a no for Buhari or a yes for Buhari. And then later we'll come up with an article with more information on what you've been telling us on these stories. And before we continue, let me just give you a quick shout out to some of our listeners who've been along on this show since we started in the last half an hour. I see Osieko Lawrence Mamadu says, you guys are doing a great job by bringing Africa Update all together.
Thank you very much for joining. There's also Wantala Ba, and you're also commenting. But hey, you tuned in and we appreciate that for sure.
Yeah, and another comment I see also, it's from Promise Isaac, who says, even though the real Buhari is not the one in position of the president, this is an imposter of Buhari's British government. British government is behind all this because of oil and gas coming from the eastern parts of Nigeria.
Interesting one.
That's a conspiracy theory there for
definitely
you.
Yeah, thank you guys for joining the show. Your comments are very much appreciated. Indeed, okay, indeed. So I will briefly some comments before we wrap up the show on the Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni introducing a new tax on everyone who access social media.
Yeah,
it's definitely a big deal. Roland M. Captain at a comment saying, I don't have a problem introducing new taxes in any of the African countries. The problem is how to manage such funds, you know, to use them to develop the nation, create more jobs, pay work as well. Aside that, it is unnecessary.
Indeed. Wike Zedi says this is an illegal and abusive decision. Well, I think
interesting
it's
one.
Been passed by the parliament of Uganda, so it's definitely not illegal there. Let me give you my final response here. Mm-hmm. Vali Best says, in some non-democratic African countries, anything can happen. This is a manifestation of dictatorship.
Interesting one. We definitely appreciate all your comments. Thank you for joining us on the show, for sure. So I guess, Abu, that's all time will permit us today.
It's been a pleasure having you aboard. My name is Abubakar Jalo.
And I'm Eddie Micah Jr.
Bye now.